Proverbs 16, verses 10 through 15, these are God's words. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are Yahweh's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. As far as the reading of God's word. So these six verses all deal with how in governing authority, the person who is in the authority is serving in as a representative of God. That God is the one who puts people in authority. And this means some things for the person who is in authority. It means he has to serve the Lord of that authority. It means for us when we are under authority, we're all under authority, that we must honor and take the authority seriously, because God is the one who puts the authority in place. As we read this and we think about what people who are in authority ought to be like, we realize we really need Jesus as the King of Kings, and we rejoice that he is already on the throne of glory. He's made it a throne of grace to us, and that in the new heavens and the new earth, he sits on the throne of earth as well. And so we rejoice in Jesus as already and one day to be completely fulfilled kingdom. And when we think about ourselves and how we ought to act towards authority and often don't act toward authority in the way that we ought, we realize that we need Christ by his Spirit to give us humility, to submit. That one of the amazing things that the Bible tells us about his becoming a man in order to die for us on the cross is that he had to learn obedience, that in his humanity he submitted, and that's an amazing thing. But it also means that as the Holy Spirit applies to us the character of Christ, that is where our ability to humbly submit and trust comes from as well. So those are kind of the big ideas that are behind all of these verses as we go through them one by one. Divination is on the lips of the king. Divination was forbidden by the law because it was a way to force words from God. And so, whether by superstitious charms or whatever, this is not saying that the king has this wicked practice. What he's saying is that the king speaks in the place of God because God is the one from whom the authority comes. We have a duty to listen to the king, but in this case, it's placing the higher duty, of course, on the king himself. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. So you see how it places a great responsibility on the king if he's speaking in an office to those entrusted under his authority and into his care that represents God. Then he better be careful that he speak what is right. But there are other people who speak in an office sort of like that, right? Moms and dads, for one. Okay, a husband for another. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her by the washing of water with the word. This is very important for you boys to become skilled in speaking according to the Bible so that when you speak to your wife, you can speak according to the word and participate in the glorious work of Christ. Fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in what? the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so one of the reasons you listen to and honor me and listen to and honor your mother, the Lord says honor your mother and children obey your parents, is because God is the one who has put me and who has put mommy over you guys. But that puts a big responsibility on me and mommy too, doesn't it? We're not allowed to just give you whatever discipline and instruction we want. We have to give you the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so if you want to be a mommy one day, you want to learn what the Bible says and how to speak according to the Bible so that you can be a good mommy. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Of course, there's an application to politics here, isn't there? Presidents and governors and sheriffs and people who are legislators and people who sit in judges' seats. Many places in the Bible talk about how all those people are supposed to be servants of Christ and who are supposed to judge with righteous judgment. Verse 11, honest weights and scales are Yahweh's. All the weights in the bag are his work. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. And when we realize that God is the one who assigns to each one in his providence the property that they have and the means, the proper means by which to gain spend that property, we realize that all economics belongs to God. So it says, honest weights and scales are Yahweh's, all the weights in the bag are his work. So just like someone who sits in a seat of authority is responsible to God for what he says, we are all responsible to God for what we do with our stuff. That's one of the reasons why you don't even have the right to spend your money badly or misuse or abuse or not take good care of the things that you have, because they're entrusted to you by God. Much less do you have the right, when you do buy and sell, to cheat someone else in your buying and selling. Honesty in all business dealing, all economic dealing, is something that is required, because what we have belongs to the Lord, what they have belongs to the Lord, and the right way of increasing wealth and exchanging wealth, that also belongs to the Lord. It's very important how we handle money, how we handle property. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. We must remember, whether you're in a place of authority or whatever it is that you're doing, that when you feel like you need to defend your interests, the first thing you have to do is be righteous. Because it's the Lord who in his providence determines how things are going to turn out. And so if you think that your job is to make things turn out a certain way, you're already one foot in the one step in the path to wickedness. Because now you're taking for yourself something that belongs to God. You could do very wickedly and he might still make it come back on your head. You could do righteously, and the wicked could plot against you, and he may still give you favor. And however he decides for the situation to turn out is right and good. So the most important thing is to be righteous. That's what he's saying to the king. He's saying, a throne is established by righteousness. Don't do wickedness because you think you can as a king, or because you think that's how to get your way as a king. No. Your throne is established by God. He's the one who, upon whose blessing a good outcome rests. And so if everything rests upon the Lord, then the question isn't what can get me and what I want. The question is, what does the Lord want from me? It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him who speaks what is right. So even if you're in a place of authority, you should receive good counsel. God has made us so that we would have fellowship. This is something that actually imitates God himself. God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has fellowship within himself. Now, God only has one mind and one will, the Father and the Son and the Spirit together. So we are not like God in that. We all have different minds and wills to one another. But he has designed our world and our relationships with one another so that he gives us wisdom by means of each other. This is a fellowship that we have with him ultimately, of course. He's the one in whom is perfect wisdom that he gives to us by means of his word and his spirit, using his word and his spirit enabling us to understand his world. But we don't just have this fellowship with him, we have this fellowship with one another. He's designed us to need, so that we ought to seek good counsel. And what kind of counsel is good? Ahithophel's? People who are super clever but wicked? No. God forbid. Verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. The more authority you are in, the more important it is to get good counsel. That's not the way the world thinks. The world thinks the more authority you are in, the more you could do whatever you want and you don't have to listen to anybody. But that's not what the Bible teaches us about how we should handle authority. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. And the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Dangers of wickedness. And so, when we offend authority, we had better be sure that we are doing it in the interest of pleasing Christ. Because you have lesser magistrates at the bottom, greater magistrates at the top, and the further up the chain of command you go, the bigger the sword gets. And Christ holds the greatest sword, the everlasting sword, that welcomes, that punishes into everlasting hell, or welcomes into everlasting blessedness. So whenever a lesser magistrate bears the sword that Christ has put into his hands, he doesn't bear it in vain. If you are doing good, you don't have to be afraid. There's a bigger sword above the sword that is above you. But if you are doing evil, and the lesser magistrate, even a king, is a lesser magistrate under Christ, if you are doing evil, then you must be very afraid, because not only is that sword against you, the bigger sword is against you too. And so the smaller sword of the king, or of the governor, or of the sheriff, or whoever it is that that is avenging evil or punishing evil in the situation, is actually, in that case, just representing what the bigger sword is going to do to you. Listen to the way the apostle puts this in Romans 13. He says, rulers are a terror not to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Why? Because authority goes all the way up to God. Not every authority praises those who do good. But the top one always does. And the bottom ones have a responsibility to do so. Verse 4, for he is God's minister for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. And so from our proverb today, as messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. We ought to, so far as we may do so in pleasing Christ and not disobeying Christ, we ought to do that which honors the magistrates that God has put above us, including if you're to give us a king. Can you get a tissue for Ezekiel, please? Is that what you had your hand raised for? You can just go get a tissue. I believe you. Okay. Let's just read the passage again. After all that instruction, hopefully you will be able to hear all of the truth that we have we've been thinking about together in the verses. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and skills are Yahweh's. Sorry, honest weights and scales are Yahweh's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. My mind, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to exercise whatever authority you give us in different seasons and spheres of our life, that you would help us to exercise it righteously, honoring you, depending upon you. Pray that you would help us to always submit ourselves to authority and respond to the authority that is over us righteously. We ask, O God, that you would help us to trust you for outcomes, to realize when we are handling what is yours, when it comes to our money or our possessions, or the responsibilities that you give us. We thank you that you have given us Christ, your Son, to be our righteousness, that he has done these things perfectly, and that that's counted for us through faith in him. We thank you that he has humbled himself under authority perfectly as well, and that that is counted for us. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the perfection of your ruling and even of your humbling yourself. We ask that you would help us by your Spirit, that you would not only grant that we would be forgiven by your blood and made righteous by your obedience, but that by your Spirit's work in us, using your word, using all of the means of your grace, that you would work out your character in us and make us to be more and more like yourself. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus. You are the wisdom of God for us, and righteousness and sanctification. Be all those things to us, we pray, with regard to these verses that we have been considering from your holy word, for we ask it in your name, as your people say, amen.